boyfriend fired at them first, believing they were intruders. The three officers prominently involved in Taylor's shooting were not charged in her killing. The Louisville Police Department now bans no-knock warrants.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand have added their names to the list of those who want Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign as more sexual harassment allegations emerge against him. So far, Governor Cuomo is refusing to do so, urging New Yorkers to wait for the facts from an independent investigation. This is CBS News.
CBS News Radio is your home for breaking news. With our team of reporters around the country and the world, we give you the coverage you can trust.
Now, from the Cairo Radio News Center at MyNorthwest.com.
We do know that many, many of our children have not been able to thrive as we wish them to do so without on-site education, without that magic connection that enlightens children when they have access to a tremendous educator in a classroom. For them, we're taking action today.
Governor Inslee is ordering all schools to offer some in-person learning for elementary school students by April 5th. By April 19th, that same mandate will apply to all grades. By the same date, at least 30% of a student's time must be on campus, and it must include all or part of 2 days. Families will be able to opt out of sending their kids to class and continue the year online. The governor says his order is an emergency proclamation which grants him authority to issue demands to schools. A little girl is credited with saving her family from a fast-moving fire in Redmond last night. Cairo 7 TV's Monica Ming-Levin has the story.
Fire raced through a Redmond condominium complex. No one was injured, but crews had their hands full as they worked to beat back flames on the roof. This was at the 6001 Village along 140th Avenue Northeast. Firefighters say they were told a 7-year-old woke up to smoke in her bedroom, started screaming, and woke everyone else up. Several homes were heavily damaged in the fire.
And the mother of a 17-year-old black teenager wrongly killed by King County deputies is calling for the sheriff to resign. Alexis Dunlop Francois says this deputy who led the arrest team wasn't properly disciplined.
He led that rogue investigation and caused Chance's death. She promoted him. He makes a racist post on social media. He gets suspended for 1 day.
According to Cairo 7 TV, Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik says she doesn't condone the deputy's behavior, but disciplinary procedures are complicated. For your weather today, partly cloudy with a high around 60. Right now it's 41 degrees in downtown Seattle. I'm Chris Martin.
Cairo Radio News. Tell your smart speaker to play Cairo Radio here for what's next.
Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio and the Long-Term Care Radio podcast. You know, I'm going to tell you, I had a completely different show planned for this week, but I got one of the kind of most intriguing calls I've had in a long time, and it was from a CPA, and we shared a client together. I met this client years ago and helped him put a long-term care plan in place, and last year, we actually filed a claim and turned on their long-term care insurance policy, so Madeline actually got a hold of the insurance company form, and we got everything set up, and they started receiving their benefits. Now, this year in January, the insurance company sent the client a 1099 LTC. And 1099 probably sounds familiar. You'll get a 1099R. That's your retirement income. So when you take income out of a 401k or an IRA, you get a 1099R at the end of the year telling you how much you took out, total distribution, they call it. If you have money in savings accounts or, money market accounts, you're going to get a 1099I at the end of the year, and that's for interest. So that's just, again, you're claiming that interest. The 1099 is a form, an IRS form, that allows recipients to report income. So at the end of the year, insurance companies will send out a 1099 LTC. And the LTC, of course, stands for long-term care. Now, the client turned this 1099 LTC into the CPA this year, and the CPA had not seen one of these before. And the client told the CPA, this is long-term care insurance money, but I don't have to pay tax on it. And the CPA thought, huh, that's interesting. So they went to the IRS website, and there's a lot of different ways a 1099 can be used, a 1099 LTC. So the CPA called me. They just had a few questions, and they said, look, you know, we've got this client, and they have this 1099 LTC. Can you kind of explain what it is? And I told them, it's like, yes, the client is correct. You do not have to pay taxes on that. She goes, you know, how do you know that? I'm on the website, and it looks like 1099 LTCs can be used in a lot of different ways, and they can. And so let me just give you an example real quick. If you have life insurance, for instance, with a 101G rider, or that's called a chronic care rider, that money that you receive will be reported on a 1099 LTC. Now, that's not always tax-free, and that's the thing people make mistakes of. They think, well, you can use this life insurance, you can use a chronic care rider, you can use it for long-term care. But the way some of those companies pay out, the money is not tax-free. It's also used for a viatical settlement, a 1099 LTC. A viatical settlement is, it became popular back in the 80s and the 90s when really AIDS was at its peak in this country, because people that had life insurance policies then, and they were given the diagnosis of AIDS and thought they had a year or two left, they would sell that life insurance contract to somebody else for the money today. So that money is reported on a 1099 LTC. Indemnity contracts, 1099 LTC indemnity contracts. These can be long-term care insurance plans that pay out in cash. Now, a friend of mine had one of these. His mother had a policy that gave him $9,000 a month in cash. She was only spending $6,000 for long-term care services. She was living in an assisted living facility, which was just right around $6,000. So what ended up happening, out of that $9,000, she could only deduct $6,000 of it, so the other $3,000 had to be claimed as income. And also you'll see, well, probably not going to see many more, but 1099 LTCs used to be given out for non-qualified long-term care contracts. Those were generally contracts that paid long-term care benefits prior to 1997. Now, the CPA called me because she said, well, I'm kind of confused on this. I see this 1099, and in fairness to the CPA, she was a specialist. She specialized in doing corporate tax returns. She had less than a dozen or less than a half dozen probably clients that she actually did personal returns for, and those were only clients that she had a business relationship with. So she just kind of did it out of as a favor, courtesy, so to speak. So she had never come across a 1099 LTC. So she called me up and she said, I'm fascinated at this. Is this tax-free and how do I know? I said, yes, it is tax-free. And what you want to do is look at box 3 on the 1099 LTC. And she says, okay, there's two more boxes in box 3. And she said, yes, the first one is marked per diem, which is Latin for per day. And that means that the benefit is paid out in a cash or an indemnity benefit. So they're just sending the cash out. The other box is titled reimbursement. And I said, that should be the box that is checked. And she said, yes, that is. That's the box that's checked. So anytime you see that box that is checked reimbursement, I said, you know as a CPA that this is completely 100% tax-free. You don't have to do any other work on it, because the insurance company has verified that the money that they paid out was for legitimate long-term care costs. So the insurance took that burden. And she's like, oh, okay, that's good. So that's the easiest way to know. Now, there's several other boxes on the 1099 LTC that I went over with her and said, this is what you're looking for here. If it's a 101G rider, now you've got to verify with receipts that the client actually spent money on long-term care, and for money that they received that they did not use for care, they have to claim that as income. And so we had a really nice discussion. But what was fascinating about the CPA is she said, look, you know, this is over $70,000 that they got last year. And I said, that's right. And I said, it's actually going to be over $100,000 next year because their monthly benefit is over $8,000 a month. It's about $8,400 a month. This was just for part of the year when we turned the policy on. And she just, you know, she was fascinated by this. She said, this is just really impressive. And she go, can you tell me about the policy? And I said, yeah. And I explained it to the, you know, what we did for the clients. We got, they have a lifetime benefit. It's a husband and wife. It is the wife who is on claim right now. The husband has lifetime benefits as well, too. The plan's going to pay him back if they don't use it. I kind of went through the whole thing, and she was just fascinated. I mean, she just was like, wow, I can't believe. She giggled because she said, I should know about this. And just the way she phrased that, I thought, you're exactly right. She should know about that because all of us go out there and we seek advice from professionals, attorneys, CPAs, financial advisors, doctors. And a lot of these people do not know about the options for long-term care planning, and they don't understand how these plans work. Now, again, to be fair to that CPA, this was not her lane. She was a corporate CPA. That's what she specializes in, doing corporate tax returns. But after we discussed all the different options and how this plan worked, you know, she said one thing to me that really just got me thinking, and this is why I decided I'm going to talk about this on the show today. We talked about this. She commented on how much this money this is saving the estate, what a benefit this is to her clients. She thinks this is just really great. And she said, why doesn't everybody do this? And you got to believe me, I giggled at her. I giggled a belly laugh. And she said, well, I don't understand why everybody doesn't do this. And I thought, you know, that's the million-dollar question. And so I'm going to talk about that today. From my career, from over a decade and the thousands of people that I've met with, I've got a pretty good idea of why people don't put long-term care plans in place. And I want to talk to you today about five of those reasons why people don't put a plan in place, and kind of educate you on what you need to know, because you might be thinking the same thing. Now, before we get to that, I want to tell you about our upcoming classes, because they're coming up quick. This Wednesday, the 17th, is our first class. That's going to be kicked off at 3 p.m. That we're going to have Dory Monson join us. And for those of you on the podcast out there, listen, Dory Monson, he's a local radio personality. He's had his own talk show for over 20 years now, and well-respected and well-loved here in the Seattle community. So he's going to join us. So if you ever want to see what Dory looks like, he's going to be on our webinar at the beginning, and we're going to talk a little bit about the new Washington State program and the taxes that people are going to be faced if they're an employee. And then I've got another class coming up on Saturday at 9 a.m., so next Saturday, the 20th. So they're the exact same class, just Wednesday at 3, Saturday morning at 9, so you can jump on either one of those. You're going to learn about what long-term care is, how it works, what it pays for, what the government programs pay for. You're going to learn about some of these new options, and I'm going to answer your questions. And it's free, and it's easy to attend. Once you sign up, we're just going to email you a link, and you just pop it up in your browser, and you can watch the webinar. So that's coming up next Wednesday and next Saturday. Sign up at 525longtermcare.com. Also, I've got a great client of the week this week, someone that wanted to put some long-term care plan in place and use their required minimum distribution. So that's money that you're forced to take out of your retirement accounts at age 72 now. And then before we go, I want to spend a little more time talking about the 1099 LTC and the danger of some of the other programs that are being marketed as long-term care insurance that really aren't. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. So stick around. We're going to head into our first break. I'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'll be joining right after my show. If you can't attend, there's another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans to pay you back if you never need it. So join me Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a free live webinar. There's also another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. And Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borough Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And we're back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. So the CPA that called me was just fascinated with the way long-term care works, and she felt guilty that she didn't know more about it. And, I just said, well, it's, you know, better late than never. And explained, it just kind of motivated me why we do what we do with Long-Term Care Radio. Our whole goal is to educate people about this. And we are in, I mean, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel right now for catastrophe coming. The baby boomers, you know, 10,000 a day turning 70. Another decade out, we're going to have 10,000 a day turning 80. And that's going to last for 16 years, folks. So that's really bringing a lot of people into this age group where most people will trigger a claim. I say most, about a third of the people are under age 65 that trigger a claim. But most, the sweet spot is generally that late 70s to late 80s is where people start triggering the claims and receiving their benefits, those people that have long-term care insurance. So after that question from the CPA, why doesn't everybody have one of these plans? She's looking at it from the math now. She's seeing the numbers. She's seeing the financial savings. And she was just saying her clients were just praising how great this was. And so she was really fascinated by it. Well, I started thinking about this, and I've been doing this a long time, and I get a lot of rejection. I get a lot of people that can just never pull the trigger. And there's really quite a few reasons, but I'm going to talk about five of them today. And the first reason why people don't get long-term care insurance is simple. They don't think they'll need it. I won't need it. That's the number one reason probably why people will never even look into long-term care planning. The Department of Health and Human Services says at age 65, 70% of the people are going to need long-term care before they die. And what I tell everybody is just add 5 to that number. When you're 70, it's going to be about a 75% chance. When you're 80, about an 85% chance. When you're 85, it's going to be about a 90% chance that you're going to need long-term care before you die. So that number creeps up. But at age 65, they figure about 70%. Now, for a married couple in a household, about 92% chance that one of them, at least one of them, will use long-term care or need help, need that extended health care situation, need help to get through the day. So a 92% chance. The problem I have with this is it doesn't matter what the statistics say or they bear out, most people still don't think they're going to need it. The statistics just tell us that the odds are stacked against us. And I think many people don't have experience with long-term care. They've never seen anybody go through an extended healthcare event, so they are just, it's just not, you know, on their radar. They're just not picking it up because they don't have any personal experience with it. And many don't recognize long-term care events when they do see them. I'll ask clients, well, your mom lived to 93. Did she live by herself all those years? Like, oh, no, she lived with my sister. Well, that's what a long-term care event is. You know, 2 out of 3 people receiving long-term care services in this country are depending on their family members. So I think that's, you know, a very common reason. Number one, I won't need it. People just really, truly believe that. The statistics, though, tell us otherwise. And think about what the state's doing with the state long-term care program. Why are they putting on there? The whole nation is facing this. People do need long-term care, and it's becoming crisis level. The second reason why I think people don't move forward is they'll say something like it's too expensive. If you went out and you walk down the street and you ask everybody over 65, how come you don't have long-term care insurance? Most people would say it's too expensive. And most of those people have never looked into long-term care planning. That's just the sad truth. And it stems from the first reason I said they don't think they'll need it. So what they think is regardless whether the premium's $10 a month or $10,000 a month, it's too expensive because it's something that they're never going to use. They don't see the benefit in that. And, excuse me, you know, if you really think about it, it's like all insurance that we use. We're trading pennies today for dollars in the future. That's why we're getting long-term care insurance. And what a lot of people don't understand today is that we have all these new programs, and that's what the CPA was just really excited about. We have all these new programs that will actually pay us back if we don't use the long-term care. But as a general rule, I think that is still one of the most common things that people will say is I don't get long-term care insurance because it's too expensive. They've never sat down and done the math. They've never looked at it. It's just an easy excuse to say, you know, why don't I buy anything? It's too expensive. Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. I can't afford it. There you go. Off you go. And those are the people that are often just wiped out. The third reason why people don't get long-term care insurance, they think they have enough money. You know, it'll be phrased like, oh, I have enough money. I'm going to self-insure. This is probably one of the most common mistakes people make, and they find out that they made the wrong decision when it's too late. Because what happens, they're looking at long-term care just simply as a money issue. I have enough money. I don't need to worry about planning. And it's the same thing for your homeowner's insurance. If your house costs $500,000 to rebuild and you've got $2 million in your retirement account, you don't need homeowner's insurance. Your house burns down, just go pull $500,000 out. The problem is, even if you go pull that $500,000 out, that doesn't solve your problems. You still got to figure out how to get your permits, how to build the house, how to get rid of the burnt structure, on and on it goes. There's a lot of complex decision making. Long-term care events work the same way. Most people just think I have enough money to afford it, but what they're not looking at is what really goes on in a long-term care. Assuming long-term care was free, you still got to figure out how to get the care. You still got to figure out where you're going to get the care. You still got to find the right people to provide the right level of care. Is it cognitive? Is it a physical impairment? There's all kinds of things that go in to these situations, and so you have to think it's more than just having enough money, but most people, most financial advisors, most CPAs, most attorneys still look at it this way. Oh, you've got $4 million. You don't need to worry about it. And I want you to just take this away today. For those people that are thinking about self-insuring, assets don't pay for care. And what I mean by that is you can have all the assets in the world, but you've got to convert those assets to income to pay for care. So whether it's selling stocks, whether it's selling a piece of real estate, whether it's converting bonds, it doesn't matter. You've got to take those assets and convert them to income to pay for the care. And that alone is going to have tax consequences. And the only time, I don't care how rich you are, I don't care if you're Bill Gates rich, the only time self-insuring is better is if you never need long-term care. Because even if it was not saving you any money, the point of is having a really good long-term care plan brings in that team of professionals and brings in those services that are going to help you and your family get through that extended care situation. Number four, people don't understand their options or what planning provides. I think this is a very common reason why people don't get long-term care plans. They don't understand it. They don't understand what long-term care insurance is about or what it does or what the need is or what's going to happen in that event. Again, many people just think of it as a money issue. I have enough money. I don't need to worry about it. people don't understand the complex decision-making that goes into setting up a care situation and managing that care situation for somebody, especially for somebody that has, you know, like an autoimmune disease or they have some complex healthcare situation that is just ongoing. A lot of people don't understand. If you have a loved one that is diagnosed with a cognitive impairment, you just don't go find a healthcare worker off of the street. You've got to get somebody that is trained, that understands how to work with people with Alzheimer's. Most people don't understand how plans work. They don't understand the numerous options of the fact that you design a long-term care plan, that you are in control of that. You can get lifetime benefits. You can get 2 years of benefit. You can get big monthly benefits. You can get small monthly benefits. People just aren't aware of what plans do and how they work. Therefore, they're just not looking into them. They've just had no experience with that. And I think also that people don't recognize the value of that team of professionals, the case managers, the claim specialists, the care coordination, the people that have been there. They don't recognize that until their loved one is in care and they're trying to figure it out. And again, that's what a really good plan does. And that's what most of my clients are excited about, are the people that have this concierge level care service with their plan. So again, people don't understand their options. I think that's a main reason they don't get planning. And the last reason I want to talk about why people don't get long-term care plans, why everybody doesn't have them, is simple. A lot of people wait too long. Let me repeat that. People wait too long. They don't qualify for coverage. Their health has become compromised to a point that they can't get it. I just got a call this week from somebody who was looking for coverage for his wife. His wife is using a walker. She has got nerve damage. She's got a handicap placard. Folks, she is not going to get insurance anywhere. She's 77 years old. They waited too long. If she would have been 57, she would have been 67 and not using the walker, not facing that nerve damage. She could have got a plan, and that plan would have kicked on and paid today. So again, I think most people wait too long. They don't realize the need or the importance of long-term care insurance until it's too late. They've got one foot in the assisted living facility already, or they're already depending on walking aids or something like that to get through the day. And to be honest with you out there, about one in three people that apply for long-term care insurance in this country are turned down. Most of that is because of their health. Their health is, you know, they've been compromised to a point already that the insurance company is not going to accept them, but also because sometimes they apply to the wrong companies. But again, people wait too long. So there you have it. Those are five reasons that I see commonly why people don't have plans. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I've got a client of the week. I'm going to share with you how we set up a plan using a retirement account. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'll be joining right after my show. If you can't attend, there's another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans to pay you back if you never need it. So join me Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a free live webinar. There's also another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. Zach, now is the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk virtual roadshow Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. I'll be there too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with the firm's license to conduct business. Borough Capital's DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Now, from the Cairo Radio News Center, streaming on the Cairo Radio app.
This is very dangerous because obviously if you have no brakes, you could kill yourself or somebody else.
Seattle police announced an arrest in the case of a man slashing brake lines and tires on vehicles in Seattle and South King County. What is still unknown is the motive. The suspect is a 36-year-old South Seattle man who was arrested early Friday morning. Last month, we spoke to Des Moines police to alert people about the more than 30 cases in the city. Governor Inslee says that with schools closed, students are experiencing a mental health crisis, so he's ordering them to reopen. According to Cairo 7 TV, Swedish Hospital is seeing an increase in teenage mental health emergency admissions.
A lot of stress, suicidal ideation, just suicidal attempts, just heartbreaking numbers.
So the governor is ordering all K-12 students back to in-person classes for at least 2 days a week by April 19th. We're expecting an announcement about the 2021 Asian giant hornet effort in the next few days. Cairo Radio's Nicole Jennings explains.
We'll be learning more about how the state plans to take up the second year of the fight against the invasive hornets. The hornets have been hibernating all winter, but not for much longer.
The mated queens would emerge probably around April sometime. They start feeding on sap or other types of carbohydrate sources.
Carla Salp with the Department of Agriculture says those queens will then build a new colony. Scientists did find and destroy one nest near Blaine last year, but they believe there may be at least two other nests in the Blaine-Birch Bay area.
They're often called murder hornets, but the sting of an Asian giant hornet is only deadly to humans in very rare cases. And the crooks don't seem to be stopping. Another 9 catalytic converters have been stolen from vehicles in Olympia in the past week. Police were able to make one arrest with the help of surveillance video. Priuses continue to be the number one target. A number of catalytic converters were also stolen from Ford trucks. Partly cloudy today with a high around 60. Right now it's 42 degrees in downtown Seattle. I'm Chris Martin.
Cairo Radio News. Tell your smart speaker to play Cairo Radio here for what's next.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. So again, we have two classes coming up this next Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then Saturday, next Saturday, the 20th at 9 a.m., and again, the classes are on a webinar now, and all you do is you sign up at our website, 525longtermcare.com, and at the top of that page, you'll see attend an event. You click on that, and then you'll just scroll down, and you pick the class you want, click on it. We will email you a link, and again, you can watch that in your browser. So you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your laptop, your desktop, your smart TV, it doesn't matter. And if you have keyboard access, you can send us questions, and you'll get to hear the other questions that people ask as well, too. So it's just a really nice learning event. Again, Wednesday the 17th at 9 a.m. and Saturday morning. I'm sorry, Wednesday the 17th at 3 p.m., Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I'm getting ahead of myself because this is the time that we do the client of the week, and I get all excited because this is my favorite part of the show. But again, look for those classes on our website at 525longtermcare.com. So this week for our client of the week, this is one of our more popular plans, and he just fits so many people out there. Because the way the world works is we work hard, those of us that work hard, and we save, and we set up retirement accounts, and we let that money grow tax deferred for all those years. But the government says, look, now at age 72, you have to start pulling that money out and you have to claim that money as income. It's called required minimum distributions. So this week, I have Russell, who is 71. When he took out the plan, he's already 72 now. Shannon, who is 67. Both retired. Russell has to take out required minimum distributions this year. And he doesn't really need the money. They're living off of a pension, and they have Social Security and some investment income, but they don't really need the required minimum distribution. So this is money that he's got to pull out. He's got to claim his income, and he's got to pay taxes on it. They've got five children. They've got 13 grandchildren. So they've got a pretty good little clan there, and they're pretty proud of them. And they want to spend a lot of time with them and do the things that, you know, people love to do in retirement. Their biggest concerns, and the reason why they came to me, is because, you know, Russell just said, look, the majority of our money is in these retirement accounts. And if we take required minimum distributions, their thought was that the plans are going to stay pretty much the same, you know, if the market continues to perform. And what they'll do is they'll divide them up among their family members upon death, and then their family members can pull out that money over 10 years. But they just don't want to have to go in and dip into that for a long-term care event, because that would be taxable income, right? If you got to go pull $100,000 out of one of those retirement accounts, you got to claim that $100,000 as income. So that was kind of his biggest concern. He was trying to do some estate planning and wanted to just figure on pulling out the required minimum distributions, and that was really it. Her biggest concern, Shannon's, becoming a burden on the family, of course. She didn't want her kids to have to try to figure it out. She wasn't talking a financial burden so much as just, you know, managing their care. She's got some friends that are going through long-term care. She's seeing this, what the family does and how people, you know, it's like the daughter's moving back or doing this or doing that. She said, I'm really looking for a plan that's going to help us manage our care in a time of need. And so that's what drew her in. So she was looking for something that offered that team of professionals. That was really her biggest concern. What I found out during our conversation was that, you know, we talked about the different plan options. They were both relatively healthy, so we had a lot of options. But, excuse me, they liked the idea of getting their money back if they could. They didn't need that money that they're going to put into the plan, but they liked the idea of that money going back to the estate. Russell was facing a required minimum distribution of over $39,000 his first year, so he had to take out that $39,000. They want to leave as much of their estate to their family. Again, this was something that was important to them. They were living comfortably without the required minimum distributions. Again, they're both in good health, no pending health issues. These are just all things we talk about. They wanted to age in place for as long as possible. Now, this was something that was very important to Russell. He said, look, I would like to stay in our home for as long as possible. However, I'm not foolish. If I'm diagnosed with Alzheimer's, or my wife is, and it would be better for us to move to a special facility or something like that, we would do that. But hopefully I can age in place as long as possible. So I want a plan that gives me the flexibility to get care regardless of where I'm at. And I said, not a problem. They both had longevity in the family, into the 90s on both sides of the family. So they were looking like they had a nice long life ahead of them. So what did we do for them? You know, we went over all this information. And, of course, the key thing that Russell had was this big retirement account, this big IRA that he had to start taking money out of. So there's a couple things that we could do. We could go out and we could set up a long-term care plan, and he could just pull money out of that required minimum distributions. He's going to take out $39,000. He could use some of that to pay for long-term care insurance. They didn't really want a traditional plan. They wanted a plan that paid them back. They had the assets, so they were looking at maybe doing an asset-based plan. Now, since Russell is 71, there are some limitations now. Because of COVID, many of the insurance carriers have pulled back. And what I mean by that is that they don't give us as many options if you're over age 70 until we get through this COVID storm. So a lot of the multi-pay options, like 10-pay, 5-pay, 20-pay, those options are gone for people over 69 now. A lot of companies will only insure somebody between 70 and 80 if they do a single deposit into the account. A lot of companies now will not even take clients over age 69. So we're somewhat limited on the programs because Russell's 71, Shannon's 67. So we could do two different programs. We could do whatever we wanted for Shannon and do a separate one for Russell. But it still made sense to do a joint plan because we did have a joint plan that would work for him. So trying to use retirement accounts. The problem is if you take a single lump sum out, what does that do? That counts as income this year. So if you go and you take, you know, $200,000 out of your account and you give it to the insurance company, you got to claim that $200,000 as taxable income this year. However, there's a way to avoid that, and that's exactly what we did for Russell and Shannon. So what we did is we took a single lump sum deposit of $250,000 out of his IRA, and we deposited that with the insurance company. The insurance company is going to set up a 10-pay on their books, which means that $250,000 is going to earn some interest in the background. Just think of it sitting there in a savings account. And they're going to pull out $30,000 a year for 10 years. So that $30,000 payment is being made into the insurance contract out of the initial $250,000 that Russell deposited out of his IRA. Now, here's the catch. When he took that $250,000 out, that was considered an IRA rollover. That's not a taxable event. So now the insurance company says, we're going to guarantee that that $250,000 will earn enough interest to make $10,000, $30,000 payments. So they're really buying $300,000 worth of insurance over those 10 years. So each year they're going to pull $30,000 out. They're going to send Russell a 1099-R, which says we pulled $30,000 out of a retirement account. Now, it's an IRA, so that 1099 is going to count towards his total required minimum distributions. Now, I know numbers are hard on the radio, so just stick with me. Remember, Russell has to pull $39,000 out this year, regardless of whether he sets this plan up or not. So he gave $250,000 to the insurance company. The insurance company is going to pull out $30,000 and give him a 1099. So it says he's already pulled out $30,000. So now he's going to go to the remaining money in his IRA account, and he only has to pull out $9,000, and now he has met his required minimum distributions for the year. And the reason why we designed this plan this way, we actually worked backwards from the numbers, because Russell's saying, well, if I'm going to get a 1099 for $30,000, there's no tax withheld on that. They're in the 22% tax bracket range, so he's going to take the other $9,000 out, and he can use that $9,000 to pay the tax on the full $39,000. He'll have more than enough money to pay the taxes that are due on that. So that's why we didn't go to a larger amount into the insurance company, because he can now meet his RMDs. He's going to have this insurance plan set up, and every year he's going to get a 1099 for $30,000 for the first 10 years. So what's magical about this is his RMD is going to creep up a little bit if the account value goes up. So maybe next year he'll have to pull out, say, $42,000. Well, he already knows he's got $30,000 coming out on this insurance contract, so he only has to pull out $12,000 out of the remaining money. And that's going to continue for 10 years. So what did they end up getting for this? They put $250,000 in. They're guaranteed to get $278,000. That's the face amount of the policy, or consider that a death benefit. After the second person dies, they just simply say, if you spent less than $278,000 in long-term care services, we're going to give the difference to your estate. So if you never trigger a claim, you get more money back than you put in. If you end up triggering a claim, but you only use a little bit, your money wasn't wasted. The difference goes back to the estate, but it's going back tax-free. And actually, folks, with the way these plans work, if Russell and Shannon went out and got in an accident and died tomorrow, year one, the death benefit would actually be $500,000. Year two would be $473,000. Year three would be $444,000. Because remember, they've got the long-term care plan, but they've also got this money sitting in the IRA that they deposited with the insurance company that's funding that long-term care plan on their books, so to speak. So I know there's a lot of moving parts here, and it sounds really confusing, but all they did was they deposited $250,000 and they walked away. They're done. They'll get a 1099-R every year for $30,000 that they have to claim that as income, but they had that counts towards his required minimum distribution. So it's not, he's not pulling more money out than he needs to. He's pulling out the same amount that he has to, $39,000 total. It's just the 30 of it's coming out of this insurance contract. Now, what do they get for long-term care insurance? They each get $5,578 per month for life. That's $5,578 a month per person for life. So over $11,000 a month if they're both on claim for an unlimited amount of time. Now remember, they get more money back than they put into the plan regardless of what happens. It can either be long-term care benefits, it can be all death benefit, or it can be a combination of the two. But if they use up $278,000 of long-term care, it doesn't matter. The long-term care benefit doesn't stop. It keeps paying that $11,000 per month for life. So it's a true catastrophic policy. They didn't want a great big giant policy. They didn't need $10,000 a month. What they were looking for was something to supplement their income that they had so they wouldn't have to go in and pull out and drain down extra money out of their retirement accounts. So again, they also get the other benefits. They get the concierge care service, which was very important to Shannon. That means that they assign somebody to her, so she's going to have that team member that's going to help her and her family manage a situation in a time of need. They get caregiver training benefits. They get home improvement benefits. They get, you know, again, all their money back if they don't use the plan. And it doesn't, you know, Russell just loved this plan because he said, look, I got to pull this money out anyway. I'm not going to put it back in the market. He thinks the market's in a bubble anyway. He goes, I would just probably pull that money out, pay taxes on it, and put it in a savings account, which isn't going to really benefit me. At least here now, what he's doing is he's getting unlimited leverage. I mean, they can pull out over $60,000 per year per person, so like $67,000 a year for an unlimited amount of time. And that just made them feel pretty comfortable. And they know that, hey, guess what? If we don't use this plan, the money's going back to my estate tax-free. So again, single deposit out of an IRA, it's taxed over 10 years. It counts as your required minimum distributions, and it provides two people an unlimited lifetime benefit. You can also do this as a single person. If you're just a single person has IRA money, you can fund it that way as well, too. So, okay, I'm going to come up for air now, but let's head into our final break. And when we come back, I want to spend the last segment talking to you about some things you need to know about alternative programs being sold as long-term care and some of the tax consequences. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'll be joining right after my show. If you can't attend, there's another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans to pay you back if you never need it. So join me Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a free live webinar. There's also another one next Saturday at 9 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. And Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, March 25th at 4 o'clock. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borough Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. If you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, we are on the air in the Seattle market four times on Saturday. We're on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on Cairo. That's Cairo FM. We are on at 9 a.m. on KVI, and we are on again Saturday at 1 o'clock on KTTH. That's 770 a.m. And then we're on Sundays at noon back on KVI. And then for those of you that listen to us on our podcast, you know you can always get these podcasts at 525longtermcare.com. You can ask your smart speaker to play them. You can get them on iTunes. Just lots of ways to get the podcast if you want to learn a little bit more, because each program is a little bit different. You know, I started talking off today about the show, and I'm in the office recording. I'm actually headed out. We're going to head out to Tucson. My daughter, sweet Jane, is turning 16, Jane Genevieve, on Wednesday. So we're going to head down there for a couple days and just try to, well, we were hoping to get some sun. It looks like it's going to be a little bit cold, but we are, you know, we're going to be back next week. We'll have another new show. We'll have those two classes. So again, Wednesday at 3 p.m., Saturday at 9 a.m. If you want to sign up for one of those and learn more, we're going to have a lot of information there. When we started the show today, we talked about a little bit about the 1099 that my client took into her CPA, the 1099 LTC. Well, there's a lot of different programs out there that use that 1099 LTC, and they're not all long-term care insurance contracts. And so it can get very confusing. So I just wanted to spend a few minutes and discuss some things that you need to know if you're starting to look into long-term care planning solutions. Number one, a lot of there's two riders out there. There's IRS codes. There's a 101G is in GRL. So 101G, the 101G rider, that is a chronic care rider. There's also a 7702B, as in boy, 7702B. That is your true long-term care rider. There's some very important differences between these two. What you need to know about a chronic care insurance rider is that it is not triggered the same way a long-term care policy is. Most of those will have language in the contracts that say that situation has to be permanent, and they have some flexibility over how you can get money. And where you're going to see them is on life insurance policies. You're going to see them where if you have $1 million death benefit, they'll put a 101G rider on there, and they'll tell you that you can get some percentage of that life insurance policy while you're alive if you trigger an extended healthcare event based on their triggers, usually a permanent situation, cognitive impairment, physical ailments, things like that. So the problem with the 101G riders is the way they pay out. Some of those insurance companies will just give you a lump sum. So imagine you have a $1 million death benefit, and they say you can get, you know, 70% of that. And so they send you a check for $700,000. Well, the only part that you can deduct that is tax-free is the portion that you spend on extended healthcare services that year. That's it. The rest of it's going to be taxable income. And a lot of people are shocked at that. You also need to understand that 101G riders are used on annuities, and they'll say, yes, you can use this for long-term care, but it doesn't guarantee that it's tax-free. Again, it depends how they pay out. So when we go over to the 7702B, as a general rule, and I'm going to say general rule, almost all of that money is going to be tax-free to you when you receive it. And what you'll know is if it's a reimbursement policy, so that means that you are getting reimbursed for the care that you're receiving, whether it's in an assisted living facility, whether it's in your home, whether it's in a nursing home, there's going to be a bill that's going to be sent to the insurance company. They're going to reimburse, or they're going to direct pay the facility. Most of them do that. But the insurance company is verifying that those charges are legitimate long-term care costs. If it's a 7702 long-term care insurance contract, but it pays a cash indemnity program, and there's several of them out there, Nationwide, Bright House, Securian, they all pay cash, that's fine. The IRS says you get up to $400 a day. That's per diem. If you remember, I was saying per diem or per day. If it's checked per diem, that means you're getting a cash benefit. So, for instance, you have a cash benefit plan that pays you $8,000 a month. You get that $8,000, off you go. That's your per diem limit. Now, what the IRS says is you can get up to $400 a day. They're not going to audit you, but technically you can only deduct the money that you spend for long-term care services. If you're receiving $12,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a month, that's okay. I mean, if you're in a special memory clinic and you're spending all that money, but if you're not, you have to claim that as income. So that goes back to what the CPA was saying. When she looks at the IRS, she says, wait a second, not all long-term care insurance is tax-free the way I read this. I said, well, you're right. What you have to do if you have a per diem or a cash benefit plan is verify you spent the money on long-term care services. If you can't do that and you get audited, you end up having to claim that money as income and pay taxes. So most CPAs will say, look, if you have a cash benefit plan, you better keep the receipts from the home health care agency or the assisted living facility or whatever it is to verify how much we spent and make sure that you're not receiving more than you're spending, or we're going to claim that as income. If it's a reimbursement plan, you avoid all of that. You don't have to worry about that. So my client had the reimbursement plan. And again, what we have to be aware of is that a lot of companies out there are selling insurance. They're selling life insurance. They're selling annuities with 101G riders, and they're saying that it's long-term care. It's actually illegal. It's illegal. It's against the law to sell a 101G rider and call it long-term care insurance, because it's not long-term care insurance. It's chronic care. And there's just all kinds of different definitions out there. So again, just be aware of that. I don't expect you to walk away from this, but if you are sitting down with an advisor and you're talking about putting a plan in place, just remember 101G and 7702B. You do not want a 101G. Where I would use a 101G is if I've got a 30-year-old that needs life insurance because he's got two young kids, I would throw that 101G rider on there just to have it on there because it's not going to cost him anything. But when you're looking for long-term care insurance and you want a long-term care insurance plan, you want a 7702B. That is the true definition of long-term care. And if it's a reimbursement policy, the tax burden is off of your shoulders. You don't have to worry about it. Anything with a cash reimbursement or a per diem benefit, you just have to be aware that there's going to be some bookkeeping or some accounting, but you still are entitled to those benefits tax-free. And again, IRS just simply says now $400 is their monthly limit. Anything over that, you just have to verify for records. I'm sorry, $400 a day or $12,000 a month. So thanks again for tuning in. Again, two classes this week. They're coming back to back the 17th. That's Wednesday and Saturday. Sign up for those at 525longtermcare.com. Our process is pretty straightforward. We always tell you, educate yourself first. Start with our pre-screen, and then we're going to custom design a plan for you, and then we will guide you through the process to get you approved. We do things a little bit differently. We're going to start doing some homework up front to make sure that we can get you approved so we don't waste your time and the effort and get you turned down, because nobody wants that. So thanks again. Tune in next week. We'll be back with another new show.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.
For breaking news, highlights, podcasts, and more, download the Cairo Radio app, KIRO.